Continue with our look at when faith and the law collide. The idea of the separation of church and state is to keep government out of the church. Unfortunately, too many ignore the original intent and instead turn the idea into a two-way street in some attempt to limit and even punish the church. Latest example of this takes us to Missouri, where a daycare center was prevented from having access to a child safety program because the center, right, is operated by a church. Here with the details about this is the senior counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom, Eric Stanley. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
And the website for the Alliance Defending Freedom, adflegal.org. So give us a rundown. What is this case all about?
Well, this case involves Trinity Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri, just a little bit north of the capital of Missouri, a small church in a small town who wanted to participate in a state scrap tire grant program where the state takes the funds that people use. They charge a fee for the sale of new tires. They take those funds and they put them into an account, and then they take old scrap tires that are in landfills and elsewhere, and they chop them up, recycle them, and use them for pour-in-place rubberized playground surfaces. And they opened it up for playgrounds of nonprofits to get grants. Trinity Lutheran Church applied for a grant to resurface its playground with this pour-in-place rubber surface. They scored fifth out of 44 applicants that year. In 2012, the state gave out 14 grants that year. So Trinity Lutheran Church clearly would have gotten a grant, except for the fact that the state sent them a letter and said, we cannot give you a grant because of our state constitutional provision that says we cannot give any aid to churches, period. And so that's what this case is about, is our contention that that violates the Free Exercise Clause and the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution.
And they're basing their decision, it's Article 1, Section 7 of the Missouri State Constitution, as you said, mentioned, bars the public treasury from funding aid of any church, section, or denomination of religion. Is the daycare center attendance limited to church members, or is it anyone who is in need of a daycare service?
Right. It's anyone in need of a daycare service, and in fact, the church actually opens its playground to children in the surrounding neighborhood on the weekends and after-school hours. So this isn't just, you know, church kids who were in a Sunday school that play on the playground, but even if it was, those kids are just as deserving of protection in the child safety program in Missouri as any other children. And really what this case is about the state discriminating against a church and groups of people solely because of their religious identity. And our Constitution mandates that the government has to be neutral to religion and not disadvantage and discriminate against people solely because they're religious.
I asked that question as I did because the typical... Again, the foundation of arguments in favor of this declining of the grant to a church is that, I guess the legal phrase is, a church is a discriminatory organization because it limits access to what it offers, what it provides, what it teaches. And as you said, in this case with the daycare center and the playground, it's come one, come all. So that discriminatory practice is out of the realm of conversation then.
Right. Well, and I think you could say the same thing about, though, any nonprofit. Any nonprofit would be discriminatory in some sense because they're only accepting, you know, a group of people who want to pay to get into the preschool or the daycare, those kinds of things. So the point is, I think in this case, and this is the argument that we're making before the U.S. Supreme Court, is that the state had a very neutral, secular grant program here. The criteria they used to score the grant applications was entirely secular. It was things such as, where is your playground located? Is it in a low-income area? Do you have a plan for how to do this? Do you have a plan to teach the kids about recycling? Those were the things the state looked at. And Trinity Lutheran Church scored higher. But in essence, what the state did is they're treating religion worse than everyone else, out of this desire, this kind of heightened separation of church and state. And that's our contention, is that that is unconstitutional under the First Amendment.
Talking with Eric Stanley, who is the senior counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom, adflegal.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. So with that equal treatment constitutional right being a constitutional fact, then why is or why has Article 1, Section 7 of the Missouri Constitution allowed to continue to exist?
Well, what I think the Department of Natural Resources in Missouri, who administers the grant program, has done in this case is to really take a very radical interpretation of the Missouri Constitution, Article 1, Section 7. And it basically has said we cannot give any aid to churches, period. And if that's the case, and if it taken to its logical extremes, then what that means is that the state would have to say, well, if you're going, you know, we can't provide ambulance services to churches. We can't provide maybe, you know, repairing streets and sidewalks in front of churches because that, you know, that's aid to a church. It allows people to access the church for religious services. You know, if there's a program, say, where there's a high occupancy vehicle in a, and you can get your tolls waived if you are part of an HOV program, and they say, well, we could do that for everybody except for church buses. You know, those are the kinds of things that I think are not neutrality to religion, which our U.S. Constitution requires, but they are, in fact, hostility to religion. And that's what our argument is that the state constitution cannot be used to trump the federal constitution. The federal constitution mandates that the government be neutral to religion, not hostile to it, as Missouri is here.
Was Trinity Lutheran the only religious-based organization that won any of these grants?
Well, there are the grant program is open to all nonprofits, but the Department of Natural Resources puts out a notice to religious-based organizations, and they say if you are part of a church or if you're controlled by a church or if your curriculum is religious in any way, or if that's your mission, then you are disqualified from this neutral, widely available grant program.
So they're staying true to Article 1, Section 7 under that broad yet more strict interpretation of it.
That's right. Under that very radical, strict interpretation, that's what they're saying is that we can't give any aid to religion, period, no matter what it is. And that's our argument. You know, that there have been confusion in this in the lower courts because the Supreme Court has not spoken very clearly on this issue. In fact, in 2004, it allowed the state of Washington to deny a scholarship to a person who wanted to take that scholarship and go study at a seminary to be a pastor. And that decision has been expanded. That's what Missouri relied upon in this case to say that they could deny Trinity Lutheran the participation in this neutral grant program. So that's why we're very glad the Supreme Court has taken up the case in order to clarify this issue, because this could really result in a great deal of harm to a lot of religious organizations who just want to be treated neutrally and equally in grant programs and any other kind of program that the government has in place.
And for community service, I mean, you did the extreme what-ifs with roads and surrounding elements of a church building. But let's say, for example, if a church organization wanted to launch a food pantry program, and it would be a come-one, come-all situation, and there were grants available, funding available from the state, under Article 1, Section 7, in Missouri at least, the church would be faced with more challenges to do that because it would be a lack of funding access to get something like that going for an entire community.
Right. I think that's exactly right, that, you know, this really could look a lot like faith-based organizations being disqualified from participating in these types of programs and grant issues solely because of their religious identity. There was an amicus brief filed before the Supreme Court this week in support of Trinity Lutheran that made that exact argument. Look at all of the good that faith-based organizations do, and they do it because they are motivated by their religion and by their religious beliefs. And if you tell religious organizations that they simply cannot take part in these types of government programs, then you're cutting out an entire segment of society that provides relief to the poor and the disadvantaged. And you're really, in essence, you're kind of, to use the old phrase, cutting off your nose to spite your face, really, by doing that. And the Constitution mandates the opposite. It mandates government neutrality to religion, not hostility like that.
Learn more about this issue and the other issues that become the focus of the Alliance Defending Freedom. Their website is adflegal.org. And we've been joined this morning by their senior counsel, Eric Stanley. Eric, Thanks so much for filling us in on this story. To be, certainly be worthy of watching for its outcome. And thanks for being here this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.